The Public News Service Daily Newscast, August 7, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. Research on social trends shows emotional and mental health is at the core of the Gen Z identity. The Pew Research Center considers anyone born after 1996 as part of Generation Z.
Lindsay Carr is a Gen Zer herself and a youth peer recovery support specialist intern with NAMI Northern Nevada, which advocates for mental health support and education. Carr says she finds many don't think seriously about their mental health until they're really struggling, but she finds younger people are having more conversations about it, especially through social media, which helps remove some of the stigma.
Pandemic made it so that it was really okay to talk about not being okay because we were all collectively not doing okay. And we all realized how important it was for us to talk to each other about it. But even if you don't have a diagnosed mental health condition, everyone has mental health. And that means everyone in every generation.
Carr says the demand for mental health services has increased, which spotlights some barriers to access for care, especially for younger people. I'm Alex Gonzalez reporting.
And appearing on five TV networks Sunday morning, a lawyer for former President Trump argued his actions in the effort to overturn the 2020 election fell short of crimes and were merely what he called aspirational. That from the New York Times. They report the remarks of his lawyer, John Lauro, came as Trump was blanketing social media, with posts suggesting his legal team was going to try to recuse the judge in the case. And opponents of a new law in Texas governing drag performances say it is so vague and broad, it could have a chilling effect on all free expression.
The American Civil Liberties Union of Texas sued the Texas Attorney General and other defendants last week to prevent Senate Bill 12 from taking effect on September 1st. ACLU attorney Brian Klosterboer says the bill would ban drag performances in most public venues, but also applies to any entertainment that could be perceived as sexual.
From Shakespeare plays to Broadway musicals to karaoke nights. And we know that this is another thinly veiled attempt to push LGBTQIA plus Texans out of public life.
The bill was originally designed to restrict kids from attending drag shows, but months of debate resulted in legislation that could mean a $4,000 fine, jail, or both for individual violators. I'm Roz Brown.
This is Public News Service. Now to the state of Maine, where new federal legislation aims to help farmers share their knowledge of conservation practices as they face an increasing number of climate change-related weather events.
The Farmer-to-Farmer Education Act would help build and support farmer-led education networks so new farmers can learn from those more experienced in coping with droughts or floods. Aaron Foster West with the National Young Farmers Coalition says while government agents can offer support, many farmers prefer learning from friends and neighbors they trust.
You know, a lot of young farmers are really motivated to have ecological stewardship on their farms and ranches, but they may not have that knowledge.
The ability to acquire farming skills was a top concern among young farmers in a recent survey. Foster West says farmer-led education can help newcomers ensure they understand the risks, costs, and best practices to ensure they can remain farming for years to come. I'm Catherine Carley reporting.
And August, usually a time when new laws take effect in Minnesota, and in the months ahead, a lot of eyes will be monitoring implementation of climate policies approved by lawmakers.
This year, Minnesota drew attention for major climate moves, including a 100% clean electricity standard for utilities to meet by 2040. But Anna Johnson with the organization Fresh Energy says there are other things to highlight, including efforts to reduce transportation emissions by expanding public transit.
The transportation sector is currently the largest source of greenhouse gas emissions, both statewide and across the country. So it's a trickier sector that we need to be decarbonizing.
And there's money to electrify public buses as well as school bus fleets, protecting riders from breathing diesel fumes. I'm Mike Moen.
Finally, Edwin J. Vieira lets us know a community effort meant to curb incidents of violence against Asian Americans in New York is undergoing some changes.
The Safe Walks program was devised to help Asian Americans remain safe walking in their communities after anti-Asian hate crimes rose during the pandemic. In 2021, 140 such crimes were reported, the highest rate since reporting began. Today, the group Nonviolent Peace Force is stepping away from its role in Safe Walks, but other organizations are taking the baton. Kalia Ann Mendoza with Nonviolent Peace Force describes the group's new role.
We're going to be primarily focused on providing safety trainings to community members, which are going to encompass a lot of the skills that volunteers would need to do safe walks and other forms of protective accompaniment.
Mendoza says it's gratifying that other groups are stepping in to make sure safe walks continues.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Here's a great radio station, your favorite podcast platform. Find us at publicnewsservice.org.